And he always stops by this show, and we love it, Bernie Kosar. Bern, how was your weekend?
Good weekend.
All right. Well, same here, and even better, I guess, as we move forward now into the minicamp phase in Berea. The next 3 days, the Browns on the field. It'll be the next to last week of off-season workouts. Bernie, the first thing I want to hit you with is just this idea that the Browns, like all 32 teams in the league, functioning with all kinds of new rules about how to go about these off-season practices, the restrictions of how many hours players can be around. I mean, even accounting for the amount of time they have lunch and showers, and the, you know, it's so different, obviously, from anything that happened before, anything that when you were playing. And I wonder how much of a disruption it could be to this whole process of getting a team ready for training camp and the regular season.
Well, you know, at first, I really think that if you can't get it done in 6 hours in May in a day, you probably don't have the ability to really get it done. So in terms of affecting the season, affecting getting ready for training camp, I don't think it's going to have a big effect on really anybody, and unless it's like the coaches' minds of and the players' minds of really just feeling good about over-preparing. But I think last year really showed us with no time, no mini camps, no OTAs, no off-season workouts, and you had teams like Cincinnati with a rookie quarterback and a rookie receiver have a fantastic year. So I do think it's an adjustment period. I do think that it's things you got to get accustomed to. But I think we are probably doing things too much 4 or 5 years ago, and last year wasn't enough, and now we're just trying to find that middle ground.
Yeah, because it's interesting how the various phases of the workouts have brought the different rules. At one point, Ron Rivera, the coach of the Panthers, literally had to, and like Pat Shurmur, he's in his second year, literally had to kick players out of the building because, you know, there were guys that who had been, I guess, at the stadium longer than the six-hour limit. So he had to, you know, walk down to a meeting room and announce, you know, all right, everybody who's been here since 7 in the morning, you got to go. I mean, that's think about that scene and how crazy that is. Now, I guess the good news for mandatory minicamp, which is what the Browns are having here beginning tomorrow, is that it's a 10-hour day period. I would think, you know, you said if you can't accomplish things in 7, I think 10 would also be more than enough for a football team to do things. But for coaches, Bernie, you and I both know there's never enough time. They would love to have these guys in this building 24 hours a day if they could.
Well, exactly. And first of all, congratulations to Carolina and Ron Rivera, because that's a nice issue problem to have, where your guys want to be there longer. They want to be studying film. So that's a nice issue to have. The rules are the rules. And you, sometimes, and I've used this phrase a fair amount, that you have to protect players from themselves. Even sometimes you have to protect the players and coaches from themselves. Right. Because as you astutely pointed out, coaches aren't ever going to feel comfortable unless they have them 24/7, 365. And that's not realistic. And you don't want to overdo it, overburn out, even though you could say, hey, looking at film, it's not physical. You don't want to overdo things in April, May, and June so that you're reaching your peak. Some of these guys, I've watched them reach their peak in July and August, when you want to be peaking in December and January.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does here, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, Mark Whipple on the show last week, and we were talking about Brandon Whedon, what else, but the whole idea, the whole process of him dealing with some situational drills that were in practice a week ago and having some of his challenges with those, because there were things he was seeing really for the first time and seeing from a very good defense that the Browns can put on the field. Dick Geron, a very good strategist too, to challenge a young quarterback. So he had his share of hiccups and some mistakes, and but things that he could learn from. My question to you is, how far can a quarterback develop in when he's dealing with, say, 2-minute drill NFL style for the first time, 2-deep zone NFL style for the first time, and then the mistakes that come from that, how much can he learn from that and take from this whole process of these types of workouts into training camp in July?
Well, from a mental standpoint, you could take a fair amount with you on this. Again, there's no substitute for the quarterback when he's live, and the threat of the D lineman or blitzing safety off the corner being able to come hit you and knock you out. There's a whole other level of decision-making and playmaking that comes into play when it's live. But that being said, you still, from a mental standpoint, red zone, two-minute drill, third down conversions, first and 10 plays, mentally understanding the roles and what objectives of each situation, you can get a lot out of it from a mental standpoint. And then, as you kind of nicely pointed out, understanding two deep NFL style and understanding press coverage NFL style, understanding the speed of the game, the aggressiveness of the game, and how the coverages and the holes and the windows and the timing is so much different from what you're accustomed to.
The other thing, Bernie, as far as competition goes, and we know about a team that is young but and has some spots definitely that are competitive. We just referred to the quarterback spot. Some would say maybe it's still a foregone conclusion that Weeden will get the job, but certainly in the secondary you've got something to look at safety, and maybe this has been overlooked. A lot of focus on the offensive side with Peyton Hillis leaving this football team, and okay, they draft Trent Richardson and that gets a lot of attention, a lot of conversation. But Mike Adams' departure, you know, the steady veteran, not a flashy player, but just a dependable guy, he's gone, and you fill that safety spot with who? Well, the competitors have been Usama Young as the veteran that they brought from New Orleans last year, and Eric Hag, seventh-round pick from a year ago, and it looks like Eric Hag has gotten more of the first-team reps in these off-season workouts, and I just wonder, when it's all said and done, does the youth and speed of that guy give him an edge over Usama?
Well, in the NFL, and both of those guys had injury issues last year, especially at the beginning of the year. So you need more than one safety to back up in the NFL with the poundings that you take over an offseason, a training camp, and a 16-game schedule. But that being said, Eric Hag, for a rookie drafted where he was, and having injuries like he had, really did make some plays at the end of the year. And it's imperative that, especially in the NFL scheme today, and I know Dick Geron would agree with this, that your safeties are capable of making plays, tackling, and then most importantly sometimes being sound and solid in pass coverage.
Yeah, and not only is it Dick Geron scheming, but it's also the guidance of Tim Houck as the new secondary coach, who I think brings a little bit of I'm a big Jerome Henderson fan. I know the players loved him, and he's an easy guy to just feel good about as a coach. But I think Tim Houck, it's a different approach, especially with the safety spot, the way he played it with so much aggressiveness, so much of that hard-hitting mentality. And I think he's working that into things too. I think in all likelihood, the player who offers more of that, and they're not that they're hitting anybody this time of year, but the player where the potential looks to be much more of the harder hits and establishing his territory, all the things that Tim Houck did as a player, those are the kind of guys he wants to have out there in his secondary.
Well, no doubt about it. Being able to be physical, being able to take on contact, take on blocks, make tackles, taking down big seam slot tight ends or tailbacks. It's imperative that safety position, that guy is capable of playing to that physical level to be able to not only just make plays, but sometimes give that air of intensity and focus in the middle of the field.
Great stuff, Bernie. We will catch up again next week. Thank you for your time, buddy.
Sounds good, bro. Have a great week.
He is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.